Get ready. It's time for the Idaho Podcast with your host, Danny Ventura. Welcome to the Idaho Podcast, where we feature the people who live, work, and play in Idaho. I'm super excited about today's show. My guest is from Sea Salt Creamery here in Star, Idaho, and it happens to be the owner of Sea Salt, Ryan Brandenburg. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you for having me, Dan.
Your place is one of my favorite places, mine and my wife's. We love to go there for dessert, and recently realized your ice cream is as good as your desserts, if not better. And holy cow, I have you to thank for about 15 pounds. And I've only been in Idaho for just over a year. Yeah. So this could be a match made in heaven, or I have to get wider doors. I'm not sure.
Maybe both.
But thanks so much for being with us. I'm happy to have you. Absolutely. I know you're originally from San Diego, California, mm-hmm. and you've been in Idaho for about 5 years. But what is your Idaho story and what brought you here?
I landed in Idaho at the beginning of COVID. I had family here already. So my sister has been here. My mom and dad are here. My brother's up in McCall. So they had been calling me to kind of get here even prior to that. And so just by, you know, the COVID happening, we closed down the 7 restaurants I was running. And it was a hard time for sure. Came over here, quit everything, left everything behind, like most people has migrated from California, and didn't really know what was next, to be honest. I'd been, you know, running those restaurants for the last 5 years there. And in this move, I found a new love for something, you know, kind of by accident, to be honest. So the journey has been long, rewarding, hard, but I think I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Mm. Well, based on the quality of your product, I would say you're exactly. Don't leave, please. Don't leave.
I'm not. No plans. This is home, and we love it. We just love the journey we went on and currently on, and what's next. You know where we're at is a tremendous little pocket in this valley of people and welcoming and supportive, and it's a dream come true.
So great. I know you're a graduate of the California Academy, Culinary Academy in San Francisco. What got you first in love with food and a chef career?
Well, I've always been around good food. My mom's been a great cook, her whole life and more on the side of desserts or pastries and where some of that comes from. But being from San Diego, I've been around a lot of seafood. You know, my first job was working in a fish market, cutting fish, processing fish and doing all that. And you learn, you know, grilling it and just playing with it from the beginning. But going to culinary school up in San Francisco is what kind of really triggered it for me to just, wow, food is, it brings people together. It's a rabbit hole of creativity. I mean, it's never ending. And similar to sports, I'm a sports guy as well. So an ever-changing environment and just being around great food and products. I love it.
Mm, so great. Having myself owned restaurants, large restaurants before, I know firsthand how demanding and grueling it can be. Oh, yeah. So what were your greatest challenges as a chef? And honestly, do you have any regrets?
No regrets, that's for sure off the bat. I think the challenges have differed from different points in my career as I progressed through it. I mean, when I first went to culinary school in San Francisco, stepping into that building and wearing the big tall white hat and being around, you know, really, really good chefs and who've been through it, it was just a new exciting experience, but I was nervous, you know, because I'd never done it before and like anything. And getting a job in the city and working in hotels and the first service, I mean, the butterflies and chaos that was, organized chaos, if you will, was very challenging. But it set the road ahead, you know, to where we are now. And then becoming an executive chef, you know, sous chef had its challenges and leadership qualities you had to obtain along the way to lead a brigade, to lead groups of upwards where I had 200 people under me, you know, when I ran a regional chain there, Tender Greens, back in the day. So now I have a new challenge, opening Sea Salt in a small town of unknowns when restaurants were closing when we opened it, and those challenges ahead. But overall, it's just courage that pushes you through and bravery and the excitement. I mean, I thrive on it when it's busy and and the chaos and the hustle and bustle of kitchens is going on. Like, I thrive on it. I love it.
Yeah, there is something about that. There's an energy that's
It's again, I relate it back to sports, and it's just like, you got to be adaptable. You got to think on the fly. No 2 days are the same, you know, but all the while your aim is to please the people in your community and your guest. And that has its challenges and, you know, training and all that. I mean, it never stops. You know, you're working 7 days a week.
For sure.
You know that. Being the restaurant business, you know, like, it just, especially when you're the owner, you know, it never really stops. And I'm always thinking about what's next. What flavors am I doing next? What are we, because I work seasonally too. And that's what's exciting now is always trying to be creative and not just run the same thing all the time.
Sure. As a classically trained chef, what were some of your favorite dishes that you enjoyed preparing?
Man, so many to think back on, and so many different chefs that had so many different approaches to food that I've worked under. You know, they always have the saying of like California cuisine, which is, after kind of being classically trained in French, what I gravitated towards being a Southern California kid. So I worked at a place called the Lodge Torrey Pines with a guy named Jeff Jackson, and big golf course, you know, beautiful property, five diamond hotel. And I was the butcher there. And so I would take care of all the proteins in the restaurant, cutting lambs, cutting pigs, seafood. And so, but my favorite dish of all time was his, what he called the drugstore burger. And it takes it back to those days in the 50s when the pharmacy was also a milkshake shop and what have you. And they had a very simple cheeseburger. And the process of making a high quality ground beef. But I just remember eating this thing when I first got this job there. I was like, holy mackerel. Like, now that's a cheeseburger. You know, some people might think it's just a cheeseburger, but no, it's not. Right. And I'm like, wow. And I fell in love with that and the style of food that kind of came with how he did things there. And it's freshness, it's seasonality. And I think it's hard to pick really one dish, but as long as I'm cooking like that, or somebody for me is cooking like that, that's what I love.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes through. You can tell love for food.
Absolutely. And I mean, it goes beyond, you know, just something tasting good. You know, it goes beyond that, because there's a connectivity between your farmer, between the people that are really actually producing the food we consume and the drivers that get it to you and everyone down the chain until it becomes to the consumer. And like, if you don't care about that process, I don't know. Like, it's beyond me where your food comes from, and how you eat is very, very important to all of us. Mm-hmm. And it connects us.
Right, right. I completely agree with you. So then you opened Sea Salt Creamery and Bake Shop in 2021. If for those of you who aren't aware of Sea Salt, It's in Star, and I will tell you, it's the best place ever. All their homemade desserts and their ice creams are phenomenal. There hasn't been one thing there truly that I had said that it's just marginal. Everything is just top notch, from their cowboy cookies to some of the caramel brownies, and they even have an olive oil orange cake, as well as a myriad. I mean, you have the lemon cream cakes and the banana tarts. Cream and the, right. And I don't want to butcher, because you know what you offer, but holy cow. And it's hard. Anytime I go there, we're walking out with boxes and we're sharing it with neighbors because it's just that good. And then, as I'd mentioned earlier, we recently tried some of your ice creams, and your Rockiest Road is my top favorite.
My mom's too.
Absolutely. Please don't stop making it.
Yeah, no, that's a staple. That's something that doesn't ever leave the case. And we have a few of those. But I appreciate the kind words and you know, I think a lot of people can overindulge a little bit in the spot, but you know, you got to pace yourself there.
Right. So going back, you opened Sea Salt in 2021, and as you started off as a chef, and you had your resume is incredibly impressive. What made you transition to go offer strictly desserts and ice cream?
My wife.
Okay.
And I'll explain that. The necessity to reinvent ourselves after what we went through. And so going back to like kind of my Idaho story, it's, you know, I was in charge of a region. I was in the Bay Area, and I was in charge of 7 restaurants in that area for a group called Tender Greens, which had 31 restaurants up and down the coast. And when I had to close the 7 down, we were also having a child at the time, you know, and everyone was going through hard times with who knows what was to come of what we were going through. But then I decided I'm done. I'm not going to work for this company anymore. I'm leaving California. I've had enough, like a lot of people here have. And having family here was comforting. So we came here, and I said, I can take a year off to figure that out. And so, and being in a new place, I didn't know what was needed or where I fit in, to be honest. And so once we got here, and I was like, well, really, you could open anything because there's not a whole lot. And it obviously needed food and whatnot. But having closed 7 restaurants, I didn't feel comfortable with that investment to just go back into the full-on restaurant game. But my wife had brought up a dessert shop because she knew my mom was a pastry cook and had great recipes and an ice cream. And I said, well, I don't make ice cream. You know, I've never made ice cream, to be honest, prior to moving to Star. And she goes, but you're a chef. Like, you can learn how, right? Like, that's what being a chef is about. I'm like, ah, you got a point. You know, I can't back down from that. So I got a little Cuisinart Williams-Sonoma ice cream maker in the garage. And I spent the greater part of that year off making ice cream in that thing. And I would just hand it out, vanilla ice cream, to neighbors and family members and try to get honest feedback on how it was. And that changed when I went to the big, like bigger machines, you know, the industrial size machines to pump out much more. And I had to tweak the recipes and continue working at it because it's just science. It really is. And then you can play once you figure out the science. And so that's kind of how Sea Salt came about. It was by luck. We got the location we did in the, what they call, you know, Toontown over there, and Pond and Shop had left to a new location, and it opened up. And so it was just kind of by fate. Me and my dad got in there, and mostly my dad, he's a contractor, but built all the bench seats and put up the walls, and everything you see when you come in there was how done by us as well. Mm. And so it starts from that, you know, the construction to the desserts to the ice cream, everything is handmade. Mm.
Well, and your shop is very welcoming. And thank so you. Your dad, if it was your dad, he did a great job.
Yeah, he did.
And, you know, that surprises me because your ice cream, and I'm not just saying this because you're in front of me, mm-hmm. your ice cream is so good. Probably the best ice cream I've ever had.
Thank you.
In my life. That. And to hear that you just really started doing that when you got to Idaho, that's remarkable.
Thank you. I think it was just, you know, again, jumping in. I can't sit on my hands. I need something to do. And this is, I mean, it's the field I'm in, you know, even though it's ice cream and frozen desserts, and it is different than savory cooking and being a butcher and all that. But once you kind of get past that figuring out stage of the science behind it and how ice cream really does work, then it becomes actually a lot of fun. And it's a rabbit hole of creativity. I always say anything can be ice cream. And I've done basil ice cream and I've done corn ice cream. And I think people are like, what? Like, how is that good? But they become popular flavors.
Sure.
At least amongst the adventurous, you know.
Right.
And I'm not, I don't want to say this, but I'm not a little kid's ice cream shop, if that makes sense. Yeah. I don't use like food colorings. I don't have additives and preservatives that I don't make myself also from scratch. We make all our own cookies, brownies, caramels, fudges, chocolate. Like we really do try to make it everything from scratch, including my ice cream base. I mean, that's another kind of, I think, unique thing about our shop is we literally make our own ice cream base, and not that there's anything wrong with getting an ice cream base made, you know, manufactured somewhere. Mm-hmm. It definitely make the process easier and I go the hard way. But that's what makes us unique. That's what gives it, like you said, the intense creaminess of it. I control all that. I control the fats, the sugars, everything that goes in it is, I know. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, you can taste the difference for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. What, so I shared some of my favorites and I indulged in sharing that. Mm. By the way, I forgot to mention your pecan. I think it was a, I think it was a bourbon pecan pie that you offered during the fall, during Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
We ordered a whole one for the family.
Yeah.
It was gone.
Oh man.
It was incredible.
One of my favorites. For
incredible.
Sure.
But, sorry. I
no problem.
kind of deviated there a little bit. You see, I get excited about desserts.
Yeah. Most people do. I mean, how can you not? And that's part of the, maybe an easier part of owning a dessert shop is if you're having a bad day, like you head to me to feel good. You head to me to put a smile on your face or change the mood of your child that may be having a tough day. Cheer somebody up, you know, and I get a lot of that. And I just have to say, I wouldn't be, Sea Salt wouldn't really be anything without this community. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I've lived a lot of places and I lived a lot of places with a lot of people and being here, the support, the camaraderie, I mean, that's how we met.
That's right.
That's how I met, you know, Mayor Trevor and all these things. And, it's like nothing I've ever felt. Like it brings an emotion, different than how I've cooked other places for people. And I've cooked for a lot of people. But seeing the people come in and seeing them day after day and the familiar faces and creating relationships and connecting that over ice cream and pie, if you will, is something else. And in the mornings, I'm usually there out front and it is a lot. I get more elderly people and I've gotten to know a lot of older folks that live in homes around here that meet up and share, pie and coffee with each other. And it's tremendous. It's a wonderful feeling and a great place to be a part of.
Mm, you're so right. And there is something super special about this community. Mm. And it obviously was a huge draw for my wife and myself mm-hmm. as well. And, mm-hmm. and I pray that never changes.
Yeah.
It's just really like you said, super
that.
Unique and special.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah. I think there's enough voices that, We'll keep it the way it is for the most part.
So I know I indulged and shared my favorites, but what are some of your top selling things at Sea Salt that I may not have mentioned?
Well, you know, I categorize things because I get that question. What's the best thing? What's your favorite? All those things. And it's hard to pinpoint on one thing. If I'm going the ice cream, it's Sea Salt Caramel. That not even really a close second. That's always been the favorite up front. So that's the number one ice cream, but you know, in a lot of the different flavors that come and go too, because not everything is there year round. It's a work with the season. So I'm bringing back strawberry ice cream, creme fraiche strawberry oat crumble. I'm bringing back a salted pistachio honey butter that was like sought after. So it's hard to
my
say
mouth
which,
is watering.
Yeah, it's hard to say which one ice cream. But when I am asked that, I say, you're not going to like the answer in terms of what I like in my ice cream case.
Okay.
I said, it's vanilla, my double vanilla on a cake cone. It's so simple. It's what I first started making ice cream with. It's what like led me to this point, just making a really good, perfect vanilla ice cream. And I think I achieved that because I, after tough weekends or whatever, that's what I have. And it brings the same happiness and peace to me. I hope that brings to other people. So that's where I always land is my double vanilla on a cake cone.
Okay, fair.
On the cake side, you know, if we go to huckleberry cheesecake, key lime pies, the carrot cake cheesecake has become very popular. Like you said before, the sour cream lemon, there's some there that my mom has made like most of my life that just brings also memories about, you know, the coconut cream pie and so on. And anything huckleberry, I've learned, you know, being an Idahoan, anything huckleberry. People okay. are after.
Got it. So I noticed you offer tastes of your ice cream, and I've had a couple of them in gold spoons. Now, is there a significance, or is that just you want to be a little bougie, or what?
There is a significance, and so it comes from, you know, chef years, and there's a guy by the name of Eric Ripert. He a French guy, owns restaurants in New York. He would always taste his sauces every day in a gold-plated spoon. And then he would eat a piece of Swiss cheese after to kind of clean his palate, and he would go around and taste everything every day. And so the purpose of the gold, if you go to a shop and you get a wood spoon tasting, you taste a little bit of wood when you eat that, you know? And then if you get a aluminum or silver-plated spoon, you get a little bit of metal taste on your teeth or your tongue. But a gold-plated spoon doesn't give you that. It just, you just taste ice cream. It leaves no aftertaste. And there's a cool factor to it, I guess, you know, as it's come. I always hand it to people and they're like, oh, it's a real, like, this is a real spoon. Like, where do I put, what? So yeah, it's become a cool little feature that we do, as well as actually having a significance behind it, you know, culinarily, just to taste just ice cream.
Right. Wow. What a, I had no idea.
That's, yeah. Yeah. I try to put purpose behind most things we do. And I've always been that way. And I just learned that way from other chefs before me that I learned under, to, you know, have meaning behind not just your food, but, you know, your service and, mm-hmm. and how you present things.
Yeah. And another part of what makes everything you're doing is next level.
I'm trying and I'm learning as I go, because even though it's business and I've operated them, and it's in this environment, it's different. It's just a different flow. It's, and we get so busy on like that Saturday night was crazy in there.
Yeah.
And managing that, you know, with the young people I have working there, who I think do a fantastic job.
They do. By the way, your team is amazing.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have almost 190 reviews on Yelp with, and you maintain a 5-star rating, which, again, having owned restaurants, and I always prided myself on our ratings as well. We had 4.5 stars, which I know how difficult and challenging it is to maintain that, because most people, as people, we typically will take more time to complain than we will to say that than to compliment. Because it's because when you're not happy about something or you want to correct it, you'll snap and go, I'm going to fix that.
Yeah.
When you're just getting, oh, this ice cream is amazing, but I don't need to do anything about it. Right. Mm-hmm. So to have almost 190 reviews at 5 stars, what do you attribute that to, and how do you do it?
I don't know. You know, Yelp is its own little beast, if you will. And as a chef and restaurateur, it's not something we've always liked, you know, these platforms that,
sure.
that give people a voice like that. Not that you didn't have a voice, but like you said, you go there to kind of complain. So we as restaurateurs kind of try to block out that noise. And my goal is always to try to fix the problem in the moment if I can, right? And I always tell people, hey, if you're never happy with something, please let us know. We'll fix it. We own it. If there's a mistake there, we want to make things right. And I think that helps a little bit. I try to be kind and courteous. You know, sometimes we catch moods too, and we're
all
always,
human.
You know, the best we want to put out there, but we do try. And I think the product, you know, I stand behind the product. I think it's great. And I think the fact that I am also a sweet shop, again, people come and they're ready to be put a smile on their face. Mm. And so I think it's a little bit easier with that, because as the saying I've learned in the ice cream world is, there's no such thing as bad ice cream, really. There's good, there's great, there's better, but ice cream, you know, brings smiles on people's faces.
It's kind of true. Well, that's great, and congratulations on the 5-star.
Thank you, appreciate that. Awesome. It is, and it does feel good to hear the community at large let you know that they're behind you and they love you, and it's that way on Google too, you know, and little hiccups here and there, you know, that we try to fix and reach out to those people with the complaints, or we didn't put our best foot forward for them, try to reach out and just make it right and draw them back in another time to show them what we're about and what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, as successful as you are, the natural next step would be, well, let's add another location. So any plans for expansion at all?
I get asked that a lot. And I think I'm going into my third year. Do I want that for myself? Because as I've learned in this process, ice cream making and the frozen dessert industry is hard. It is very hard. Equipment is expensive. Maintenance on that equipment can be expensive, more so than actually running grills and ovens and other things. I mean, these, you know, churners go for a pretty penny. And as you grow larger, you need bigger equipment to accommodate the, you know, how much you're putting out there. So I don't know. I really have this hankering to get back to doing also what I was trained and kind of feel like born to do, which is cook again. And I do have missed that. There's great restaurants popping up here in Star, and I do want to bring another great one to Star. And leave maybe Sea Salt just what it is. It's Star's own little thing. I don't need to be an Eagle and Meridian and Boise and beyond. Because I think on the cakes and dessert side of things, it might be a little harder to replicate. You know, we have a great staff in there that's taken my mom's recipes, and we continue to grow, and they're wonderful putting that forward. But to repeat that again, it doesn't sound that exciting to me. I love being here and serving my community and just doing what we do.
Yeah. Well, that's heartwarming to hear, frankly, because it is sometimes it just is, when you duplicate, it doesn't quite translate.
No, when I did my last thing with Tender Greens, you know, I started with them with one and I worked my way up to where I did, and I helped open and grow a lot of restaurants and all the struggles along the way to replicate. Because if I go to one, you know, in one city and then another one in the next, I expect it to be the same. Mm-hmm. And that cheapens things. It just, there's no real way around it, because believe me, we tried. And I think we did the best thing we could with it, but it cheapens things. And I don't ever want to cheapen it. And I like what I have, and I'm not chasing every penny down the street anymore. You know, I want to be sustainable and happy in how I do things.
Right. You're doing it for the right reason.
Yeah.
That's awesome to hear. So Sea Salt is located in the city of Star on State Street. And as Ryan said, they're located in a little area called Toontown, a little shops. And it's a really cute little area for those of you who are aware of it. And but aside from visiting your physical location, do you also take orders on your website? And by the way, let me give the website out. It's seasalt-creamery.com. So seasalt, S-E-A-S-A-L-T hyphen creamery.com. Mm-hmm. But do you take orders on your website?
I don't take orders on my website. I mean, we have Uber Eats. We have DoorDash if you wanted to get delivered to you. How we do things, we sell out a lot of days. I mean, you know, if you come at 7 o'clock at night, I mean, it's going to be what we have. So opening the order portal to just anything and everything on a daily basis would, I think we'd crash and burn and the wheels would fall off, because we're already kind of outgrown that space and produce what we can. You can always call ahead and see what we have and try to come in and get something or have something set aside. And then for whole cakes and whole pies or special events, email us. That's the best way to communicate. We'll get those orders. We'll get back to you fairly quickly and process things. We also have an ice cream cart. And so we do a lot of events and weddings and birthdays and things like that. It's super cool and fun. And yeah,
that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. We started it last summer, did a lot of cool weddings, and it's already done a few, this year already. So, we hope for that to be just another cool avenue to get out there and share with people.
That's great. Yeah. And they can email you through the website.
They can email me through the website. My email is seasaltcreamery@gmail.com.
Okay.
So you can always email me. We also on the website do have something you can click on, and it'll kind of open up an inquiry to whatever you have.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I love the place. I know that it has been said by many people that the word stressed backwards actually spells desserts. And I'm just happy because I don't even have to be stressed. But when I come in your shop, I always feel super happy and great. And,
yeah. I'm glad to hear that. I think, again, that's part of like the ease factor of what I'm doing a little bit, is that it's trying to bring a smile to people's face. It's mm-hmm. bringing people together. It's something sweet. Like you said, take the stress off. You had a tough day, you're stuck in traffic, work sucked, what have you, come get a sundae, come get an ice cream cone, a cheesecake, whatever, we got you. And we want you to get home, you know, with that left behind.
Right. Well, I really appreciate having you in the community. I appreciate your passion, not only for what you do, but how you do it, and the sheer quality and whole idea of next level, even using gold spoons for tastes. Yeah. I mean, things like that. And it doesn't go unnoticed. So I'm going to be your biggest fan. I'm going to continue to cheer you on. But boy, folks, if you haven't tried it yet, go to Sea Salt Creamery and Bake Shop in Star. You will not be disappointed. But Ryan Brandenburg, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.
It's a fun time here, and love sharing my story and again, being a part of all this. Yeah, it's cool.
Absolutely. And thank you for joining the Idaho podcast. We hope to see you again next week. Take care.